From above, densely packed skyscrapers fill a city center.
Life is all about choices. We choose who we want to be. We choose how we spend our time. And we choose what is important to us.
A Caucasian man sits on a bed.
My name is Sam.
In a bedroom, Sam strokes Sarah's hair.
That's Sarah, my beautiful wife. We have a baby on the way. I have a tech startup. It has potential, but not a lot of money.
They share a kiss.
Sarah says I work too much, and she's right. It should be the happiest time of my life.
Smoke emanates from a crumpled car.
But for some reason, I am in turmoil.
Sam sits in the driver's seat, lacerated and bleeding. He spits up blood, and a paramedic leans in the window.
Hey, you're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay.
In a hospital corridor, fluorescent lights drift across the ceiling. Sam lies on a gurney pushed by doctors and paramedics. Sarah follows behind them.
Sir, thank you. Keep your eyes open.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Sam looks up at the ceiling. The lights flicker.
Everything's gonna be okay. I love you.
Sarah stays behind as the gurney continues on. Sam's eyes widen. Over black, a title appears. Disquiet. In a dimly lit hospital room, an EKG monitor displays arching lines. Sam lies unconscious in a gown and a bandage wrapped around his forehead. He slowly shifts awake. A plastic tube is in his mouth. He turns over and raises his head from his pillow. Across the room, an elderly man with a long beard lies in another bed. Sam stirs and tilts his head back. The elderly man lies with a tube in his mouth. His hand is marked by long, pointed fingernails. Sam looks down and notices a call button in his hand. He presses it. He presses it again. The elderly man lies motionless. Outside, fluorescent lights flicker in the dark and empty hallway. Sam continues pressing the button. Another dim hallway is completely empty. Sam puts down the call button. Sam slowly sits up and removes the sheet over his legs. He places his hand on his head. Sam shakes his hand and knocks a monitor off of his finger. He reaches for the heart monitors on his chest and yanks them off. Sam pulls the tubes around his nose and throws them to the floor. He grips onto an IV needle in his arm and quickly rips it out. Sam carefully places both hands around the tube in his mouth. He slowly extracts it from his mouth. Saliva spills out as he makes the final pull. Sam composes himself and sits on the edge of the bed. He looks over his shoulder and sees that the elderly man is gone from his bed. Sam climbs out of the bed and props himself against a railing. His eyes widen as he stares at the elderly man's empty bed. The elderly man tackles Sam onto the bed and grabs his throat. Sam struggles against him. Sam pushes back against the man as he grips tighter. Sam pushes the man off of the bed and strikes him in the face with a metal tray. Sam gets up and rushes into the hallway.
Help! Anybody! Help!
The elderly man leaps behind Sam and strangles him. They grapple with each other and thrash against the walls. The man hurls Sam into a wall and he falls to the floor. The man pounces on top of Sam and grabs him by the throat. Sam shoves him back with his feet and kicks him in the face. Sam scrambles to his feet and strikes the man with a nearby IV pole. They both fall to the floor. The man grabs Sam's leg as he reaches for a metal tray on a stand. It falls. Sam picks up a scalpel and plunges it into the elderly man's neck. The man goes limp. Sam straddles him and stabs him repeatedly in the chest. Sam pulls the scalpel from the man's chest and runs down the hallway.
Hey! Anybody! Help! Help!
Sam stops and slowly turns around. The hallway behind him is empty. The elderly man's body is gone. Sam walks back through the hall. He finds a pool of blood on the floor where the man's body was.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Sam turns to a metal cart and takes another scalpel. He holds it tightly in his fist as he continues down the hallway. He looks back over his shoulder as he takes cautious steps. He moves past doorways, looking to his left and right as he walks. He stops at a window and sees the elderly man lying in his bed. He enters the room and stares at the man with wide eyes.
What the fuck is going on?
With the scalpel raised, Sam backs away from the elderly man's bed. He opens a cabinet and finds his clothes. He places them on a bed and takes his phone from the pocket of his jeans. A notification reads, "Disconnected from mobile services."
No fucking signal.
Sam looks over at the elderly man lying in bed. Sam rips off his hospital gown. He sits on the side of the bed and hastily puts on his jeans. Sam stares at the elderly man as he slips on his shoes. The elderly man lies motionless in bed with his eyes closed. Sam pulls on a shirt and picks up the scalpel and his phone from the bed. He shoves his phone into his pocket and raises the scalpel. A dark-haired nurse wearing a white dress and cap stands in the doorway.
Can I help you?
What's going on here?
You rang the call button. I answered.
What?
You shouldn't have gotten out of bed. You need to stay and rest.
I was attacked.
By who?
By him.
He points to the bed. The elderly man is gone.
He was just...
Sam turns to the door. The nurse is gone.
No fucking way.
Sam steps into the hallway and looks in both directions. He looks back at the empty bed.
Fuck.
Sam runs down the hallway with a scalpel in his hand. He dashes to an elevator at the end of the hall and presses the call button. Sam turns around. The elderly man stands in the middle of the hallway, and a light bursts over his head.
No fucking way.
The man sprints down the hallway. Sam desperately taps the call button.
Come on. Come on!
The elevator doors open, and Sam falls inside. He presses a button and the doors close in front of the man. The elevator rises through a shaft. Sam takes a deep breath and shuts his eyes. Sam opens his eyes and looks up at the ceiling tiles. A fist pounds a dent into one of the tiles. Sam presses himself into a corner. The elderly man rips open the tile and peeks his head in. Sam leaps out of the elevator and tumbles into a hallway.
Help! Anybody? Pull up!
At the end of the hall, he removes an IV pole from its stand and wields it with both hands. He stares at the open elevator doors. His wedding ring taps against the pole. The elevator doors close. Sam shuts his eyes and sinks to the floor with his back resting against the wall. Sam sits alone at the end of the dark hallway. In a flashback to the accident, a paramedic pulls a white sheet over a man lying dead in the road. In the car, Sam spits up blood. The paramedic leans into the passenger window.
Hey, you're gonna be okay. Let me get you out of here.
This looks bad. The other guy was drinking. Dead now.
Hey, don't listen to him. Just look at me. Look at me.
The paramedic extends his hand.
Think you can reach up and grab my hand?
A state trooper looks in from the driver's side window. Sam reaches for the paramedic's hand. In the hospital, Sam sits clutching the IV pole. In an operating room, bright lights shine over a red-haired Caucasian woman lying on a table.
Anything to look beautiful, right?
You already look beautiful.
Oh, you hear that, Doc? She's gonna put you out of business.
Oh, I'm going to make you even more beautiful.
You better. Ass, nose, lips. Only have tits to go.
You ready? Just relax and look up at the light.
The nurse shines a flashlight.
She'll stop shining in your face any moment now. It is very annoying.
It's a bit bright.
The nurse lowers the flashlight. The surgeon puts on surgical gloves while the nurse places an anesthesia mask over the woman's face.
Now, I want you to count down from nine.
9, 8, 7.
Good. Keep going down.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The woman's eyes close. In slow motion, the surgeon reaches for a scalpel. The woman's eyes open. The nurse and surgeon stand over her with their mouths and eyes covered by skin. They turn to her and tilt their heads. Now the red-haired woman reawakens on the operating table. Her eyelids flutter. Her eyes shift back and forth as she slowly regains consciousness. She removes the anesthesia mask from her face and looks around the empty room. She pulls off the heart rate monitors on her chest. She sits up, and a hand with pointed red nails grabs her arm. A blonde-haired woman with blood-stained bandages around her waist and chest stands over her. Another pair of manicured hands belonging to a slender woman with bandages grabs her other arm. A third woman with dark hair grabs her ankles. In the hallway, Sam lifts his head. The blonde-haired woman lowers a scalpel.
Please, please, no!
The other two women pick up scalpels.
No, please, help! Please, please.
Sam runs in, wielding the IV pole.
Hey! Hey!
The blonde-haired woman looks back at him with a blank stare.
Get away from her!
Help me, please!
The dark-haired woman steps towards him.
Don't come near. I mean it!
She moves closer, holding a scalpel in her hand. She grabs the pole and stabs Sam in the abdomen with her scalpel. Sam backs against the wall and feels his bleeding wound.
Hit her!
He strikes her in the face and she falls to the floor. The other two women glance at each other before slowly approaching Sam.
Come on.
The red-haired woman rolls off of the table and hides behind a cart.
Don't you fucking come near me.
They each hold up a scalpel.
Run!
The red-haired woman dashes out of the room draped in a blanket. Sam backs through the doors and slides the IV pole through the handles. The bandaged women walk up to the door and stare at Sam through the window. He runs off, leaving the women standing at the window. In front of a mirror in a dimly lit room, the red-haired woman wraps bandages around her breasts. Now she rushes down a hallway wrapped in the surgical blanket. Sam follows behind her, clutching his wound.
You all right?
I'm not sure how to even answer that.
Me neither. I think you're the first real person I've seen. I'm Sam.
Monica, who were those women? And where is everyone?
I don't know. But we're gonna have to figure this out. What's the last thing you remember?
I was going into surgery, and then I woke up on the operating table surrounded by them.
Same thing happened to me, but without the dam.
So, we're alone? You really haven't seen anyone else?
Not exactly.
What's that supposed to mean?
A man in a coma woke up and tried to kill me twice.
What?
Look, we need to keep moving. We need to get out of here.
Okay.
Hey! Not that way.
The sign says that's the way to the elevator.
Yeah, well, the homicidal coma man says otherwise. You need to trust me. We need to find a different way. Let's go.
Okay.
At a nurse's station, Sam runs up to a phone behind the counter.
Phones are dead.
It's a zombie apocalypse, isn't it?
It's not the zombie apocalypse.
He grabs a map of the hospital.
When I stabbed the coma man in the head, he came back to life. But not before he cleaned himself up, dressed himself again, and then reappeared in his bed as if nothing ever happened.
Okay, you are not making me feel any better. So, what happens when the not-zombies come back again?
We'll be long gone.
He grabs a lab coat.
Put this on in the meantime.
Play doctor with you?
You know what? In the past, that would have been a really good idea.
Look, you get me out of here, and I will be more than happy to play in this one.
Lady, as tempting as that offer sounds, I'm married, and I really don't want to get back to my wife.
Hello?
What's that?
No. No!
Monica puts on the lab coat. A black man wearing a hoodie is handcuffed to a gurney.
Hello? Hello? Yes, in here! Oh, thank God, I thought I was gonna die in here.
What happened?
The cop, the doctor, they all just let me come to this bed.
What did you do?
Nothing. I was shot and brought here and I woke up just like this. It's pretty fucked up, ain't it?
Who shot you?
A cop?
No, we are not helping him.
What? No, I'm not the bad guy here, I swear.
Hey, we need to stick together. I helped you, didn't I?
Sam removes the handcuffs.
Yeah, that's because I'm not a criminal.
Neither am I, lady.
In a flashback, the man runs out of a store.
Stop!
A cop shoots him in the back, and he falls.
I'm Connor.
Sam.
What's happening out there?
Nothing good. We need to get to the lobby and then the exit. Can you move?
Yeah.
How do we know you're not going to try and kill us?
How do I know you're not going to try and kill me? I saw you swipe that scalpel.
Hey, nobody's killing anyone.
He holds up a scalpel.
You're going to need this.
Shit, you okay?
Yeah, I'll live. Let's go. Come on.
In a hallway, Monica walks alongside Carter. Sam follows behind them.
You better not try anything.
I'll give it a rest, lady. You're not my type.
Too pretty?
Nah, too extra. Damn.
Monica presses an elevator call button. They turn around. At the end of the hall, the three bandaged women patients stand beneath a violet light wielding surgical instruments. Monica desperately taps the call button.
Who the hell are they?
Not zombies.
Sam stares with wide eyes. The hallway rotates until it is completely upside down. The bandaged women crawl across the ceiling.
Shit! We're not gonna make the elevator. Go for the stairs!
Sam, Monica, and Carter rush into a stairwell. The women continue skittering on their hands and feet. Sam and Carter hold the door closed.
It's not gonna hold! Go!
Monica and Carter run downstairs. Sam looks up and sees a light coming from the roof. The dark-haired woman punches through a window in the door and reaches through.
Let's go!
Sam heads down the stairs. He stops and clutches his wound before continuing on.
Wait!
A clawed reptilian hand grabs his wrist on the railing. He pulls it away. Sam sees fire at the bottom of the stairwell. A tall orderly pulls Sam into a hallway and holds him by the throat.
You shouldn't be in there.
There's smoke everywhere. There's gotta be a fire somewhere.
I saved you from it.
My friends, we have to help them.
They're not your friends. You can't go down after them. You can't go anywhere, or else you will be lost forever.
Let go of me!
Now, the orderly's mouth and eyes are covered with skin.
He said, let go of him.
A Caucasian doctor with long dark hair strikes the orderly with a wrench. Sam passes out.
Hey, stay with me. Stay with me.
In a flashback, Sam sits in a car with Sarah.
Stay with me, Sam.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back.
I'm still here. Just trying to finish some work.
Oh, the horror of having to share the morning commute with your wife.
It's a nightmare. But I'll get over it. Maybe even before the baby arrives.
Oh, you better. Or else you're going to wake up an angry old man with long, straggly hair, crazy fingernails.
I already wake up an angry old man.
Honey, I would don't want to be angry if you weren't there.
You work too much. Deep breaths. Stay the course. Tomorrow is important. So is today.
Okay, that's it. I'm all yours.
Sorry, too late.
Oh.
Love you.
They step out of the car.
No texting and driving.
Only when I'm texting you.
Not even then. Do you remember how to get back here tonight?
Sure. GPS.
Or you could follow the signs. It's uptown, not downtown, remember?
I got it. Love you.
They kiss, and Sam gets into the driver's seat.
Call me if you get lost.
Uh-huh.
Sarah looks on as Sam drives off. At an intersection, Sam checks his phone as he receives a call from work.
Hey.
A van slams into the side of the car. In the hospital, the doctor pushes Sam through a hallway on a gurney. A gray-haired Caucasian man in a wheelchair exits a room.
I should just take him downstairs right now.
Not as long as I'm here, he won't.
He's a selfish, workaholic, reckless womanizer who crashed while texting and driving.
You mean a good, hard-working man and future father who made some mistakes who got hit by a drunk driver?
Fine. It'll be his choice.
Always.
In a patient room, a fluorescent light shines over Sam, who lies shirtless in a bed, connected to an IV drip. Sam wakes up and scans his surroundings. The stab wound on his chest is covered with a bandage. Sam grabs the IV needle and yanks it out of his arm. He holds his hand over the bandage and slowly moves to sit on the side of the bed. He takes deep breaths and composes himself. He turns to the bedside table and notices a bottle of oxycodone tablets. He picks it up. He examines the bottle before twisting open the cap. He takes out a tablet and places it into his mouth. He shoves the bottle into his pocket and rips the IV bandage off of his arm. As he pulls on his shirt, he turns and notices the doctor's wrench on a table. He picks it up. Sam gets up from the bed and takes a scalpel from a surgical tray on the bedside table. He holds the wrench with both hands as he slowly steps into a lounge. The cop stands in a doorway, aiming a pistol at Sam.
Drop the wrench. Are you one of them?
One of who?
Whoever the hell is trying to stop me from getting out of this place.
Sam turns around with his hands raised.
No. Do I look like one of them?
You got a face. That's a positive.
I'm assuming you're not the one who patched me up.
No, it wasn't me.
You're a cop.
Yeah.
So what the hell is going on?
I don't know. I can't get a signal.
Neither can I. All the lines are dead.
Look, I sign every birthday card. See it 100. I'm getting out of this place no matter what it takes.
Hey, look. You'll get no argument from me. But the exit is in the lobby. And let me tell you, the elevator is dangerous. And there's smoke all over the stairs. I think there's a fire somewhere.
Have you looked out a window yet?
What?
Sam turns to a window covered by curtains. He pulls the curtains aside to reveal a pitch-black window. The cop, a Caucasian man with short hair, looks at Sam with a tired face. In a flashback, the cop enters the convenience store.
Hey, boss.
He takes a wrapped donut from a rack and places it onto the counter.
Yeah, I know it's a bit of a stereotype, but I like them. I grab a coffee there as well.
With a nervous face and trembling hands, the cashier dispenses coffee into a paper cup. He turns to the cop and makes a gun with his fingers.
Woody.
The cop draws his gun and aims at Carter, who stands next to an Asian woman in a yellow sweater.
But don't move!
Hands where I can see him!
Down on your knees.
So I'm not gonna ask again. Now!
It's not him.
You got the wrong guy, dude.
In the hospital, Sam stands in front of the dark window.
Maybe it's a blackout. Maybe the whole grid is down.
What do you mean, like terrorists?
Or hackers. All hospitals have generators. That would explain why we still have power. Maybe they evacuated everybody before the generators kicked in.
That's why the hospital's empty.
Sam turns around to see that the cop is gone.
Seriously?
He picks up the wrench from the floor.
Hey!
Sam steps into an empty hallway and looks in both directions. He stops suddenly and clutches his wound.
Fuck.
He pulls out the pill bottle and pours a tablet into his mouth.
Whoa, slow down there, son. You can open up those stitches.
Sam looks over his shoulder and heads back in the opposite direction. He stops in front of a doorway to find the man in the wheelchair sitting in the patient room.
Unless, of course, you're here to fix my sink.
What?
Well, you've got a pretty big wrench there. I was thinking, you know, my sink's leaking. Maybe you could,
No. I don't fix sinks. Are you real? I mean, are you really here?
Of course I'm here, aren't you?
Yes. Thank God. People keep disappearing on me.
Well, I'm not going anywhere, son. Name's Virgil.
Sam.
Sam, why are you still here, Sam?
I'm trying to leave. I need to find my wife. She's pregnant. But I keep getting attacked.
Yeah. Well, you were bleeding pretty badly there. Now, the wrench lady took you to that room over there and wanted to move you downstairs, but I wouldn't let her.
She's the one who saved me.
Ah, she's the one who stitched you up. And apparently let you borrow her wrench.
So where is she now? We need to get out of here. I think there's a fire or a blackout or worse.
Worse? Power's still on. Water's still running. We're both still breathing. I'd say we're doing okay.
Virgil, I looked out the window. There's only darkness.
And it's light in here. And in a couple of hours, the sun will come up. And it'll be light out there, too.
Assuming we survive the night. I can't explain this. But there are dangerous things here. And they mean to do us harm.
I know. I've seen them.
You have?
Yeah.
I thought I was going crazy. Monica, one of the other patients, she thought it even might be the apocalypse.
The apocalypse? I don't think that's what's going on.
No one can get a phone signal.
Well, these old buildings wreak havoc with reception. But I tell you what, the higher up you go, the better chance you have.
What about the roof?
Now that makes sense. Go up on the roof, get a signal, find out what's going on, and talk to your wife.
Sam turns around.
Virgil, we're getting out of here.
He grabs the handles of Virgil's wheelchair and pushes him into the hallway. The doctor approaches them.
There you are. Glad to see you on your feet again.
You helped me. Thank you.
Thank me later. Did you just hear those gunshots?
Yeah. There's a cop.
He said he'd do anything it takes to get out of here alive.
I like him already. Let's follow his lead. Can I have my wrench back?
Sam looks down at the wrench, then hands it to the doctor.
Yes, ma'am.
It's Doctor. Or Lily. But not Lilith. I hate that name.
Whatever you say, Doctor.
In a hallway tinged with violet light, the bandaged women run side by side. The brown-haired woman stops at a window and tilts her head. The other two scream with wide-open mouths. Sam, Virgil, and Lily enter another hallway.
No, shooting first and asking questions later is not what we need right now.
The cop did seem a little off.
Really? We've been abandoned, the phones are dead, and there are crazy monster people trying to kill us. I'm off, too.
We all are.
I woke up from a nap in the break room, and everyone was gone. Except for Virgil. And then I saw you getting attacked by a faceless orderly.
Me and two patients. We tried the stairs. They were filled with smoke. The orderly pulled me out.
Then let's hope the elevator still works.
We want to go up to the roof, especially if there's a fire.
Fire or no fire, we need to go down. Find the exit. Find everyone else.
Sam cautiously approaches a corner and looks over his shoulder. He sees the orderly crossing the hallway.
The orderly's back. And he's found his face again.
Lily checks around the corner. The orderly crosses back.
He looks in pretty good shape for getting a wrench to the head.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should try talking to him before bashing him in the head again.
Talk to the man with the vanishing mouth.
She's right. That didn't work so well the last time.
Oh, was that before or after he pulled you from the smoking stairwell?
Touché. You stay here. If he tries anything, bash him.
Sam slowly steps around the corner and walks down the hallway. The orderly crosses through the hallway.
Hello?
Sam turns another corner. The orderly stops and turns to him.
My friends and I would like to leave now.
The orderly stares intensely. Sam turns his head. A girl with a bandaged face and a blue dress stands in the doorway of a nearby room. She raises a hand and points up. The light above Sam flickers and bursts with sparks. Sam falls to the floor. Sam raises his head and scans the hallway. The lights slowly dim and turn blue. He turns to the girl, who appears hazy in his vision. He crawls towards her. In slow motion, the girl runs to him. Her face is without bandages, covered in burns. Sam jolts back with wide eyes. The girl glares at him before running off.
Wait!
The lights brighten, and Lily runs over.
What happened?
Did you see the girl?
What girl?
She helps Sam to his feet. The orderly stands, glaring at them.
You shouldn't be here.
We're leaving now.
You shouldn't be with her.
He grabs Sam's neck.
You shouldn't be with her!
This conversation is over.
Lily swings the wrench. The orderly grabs it and knocks it against her head.
Going downstairs is a mistake that you will regret.
The orderly's face trembles and loses its features.
Let him go!
The now faceless orderly turns and marches towards Virgil at the end of the hall.
Get up to the roof! Get help!
The orderly tackles Virgil.
Come on!
We can't leave him!
Crap.
Virgil! Sam runs down the hallway. He finds Virgil's empty, overturned wheelchair.
Sam!
Sam raises the wrench.
Lily, I'm sorry.
We have to go. Ready?
A light bursts.
Let's go.
They run back down the hallway and into an elevator. Lily presses a button.
We're supposed to go to the roof.
That doesn't make any sense. We need to get out of here.
The orderly, now with a face, pushes open the doors and shoves Sam. The orderly carries Lily out of the elevator.
No! Lily, no! No!
Lily! Lily!
The doors close in front of Sam, and he sinks to the floor. The elevator descends. Sam gets up from the floor and taps a button repeatedly. Sam looks up. A fist dents the ceiling. The elevator opens and Sam dashes out. He backs against a counter and raises a scalpel. The elevator doors close. Sam sinks to the floor with a deep exhale.
I promise you, I didn't call her.
In a flashback, Sam and Sarah sit in their bedroom.
You fucked up once. Don't do it again.
I'm sorry.
Temptation is your weakness.
Was my weakness. Look, I'm a different guy now.
Sam joins her on the bed.
I'm different now. I changed. You made me a better person.
I know who I married, but it doesn't always have to be about you, what you want, what you need.
I know. Look, I'm selfish.
You don't have to be.
Okay. I'm sorry, I get lost, I get distracted, I get tempted, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I don't want to lose you.
I'm right here.
I know.
Our future. Child is right here.
I know.
You're always trying to help yourself. When are you going to try and help someone else?
I'm sorry.
They kiss each other softly. Now, in the hospital, Sam sits on the floor, fidgeting with his wedding ring. Monica peeks her head through a doorway on her hands and knees.
Who's chasing you?
A 10-foot orderly with no fucking face.
Oh, so nothing crazy.
I thought I'd lost you.
You did. We're all lost. There's no way out, Sam. We looked and looked. Carter left me and he's still looking. But there's no exit anywhere.
Now you listen to me. You don't give up. There's always a way out. We just have to find the lobby.
This is the lobby.
Sam turns around.
Oh, shit.
He gets up and walks through the lobby, scanning his surroundings. He approaches curtains on the wall. He pushes them aside to reveal bars and bricks over a window. Sam leans against the window and bows his head between his arms.
Sam!
Sam runs back to the counter.
What's going on?
Someone's coming.
He stands by the elevator and raises his scalpel. The doors open, and the orderly's severed head rolls out. Lily steps out of the elevator with a smirk.
Faceless, and now headless.
Sam hugs her.
You got away.
He stuck his head where it shouldn't be. The elevator doors did the rest.
I told you they weren't safe.
Who's your friend?
Dr. Lily? Monica. Monica, this is Dr. Lily.
I'm the one he was playing doctor with before he met you.
We're not playing.
The cop slams a chair against a window.
Son of a bitch!
Hey.
He tosses the chair.
This is the lobby, isn't it? So where are the main doors?
The cop pulls out his pistol and fires into the window, creating small cracks around bullet holes. The cop looks at the impact marks on the glass. He approaches the window and holds his hand over the bullet holes.
At least we know the air outside is real.
Carter runs into the lobby.
Just check the whole floor. No exit doors anywhere.
You okay?
Thankfully. Hey! You're the son of a bitch who shot me.
I knew it.
If I didn't shoot you, you profiling asshole! You hey. Shot me!
Whoa. Take it easy.
Hey,
put the gun down.
Your partner may have pulled the trigger, but that's the same in the eyes of the law.
My partner?
He was not my partner! You just assume every black dude in a goddamn hoodie is a fucking criminal!
Well, now you're the victim.
In the store.
Give me the fucking money!
Whoa, now!
A white man in a hoodie holds a gun.
Hurry up. Move. And you die.
Carter and a woman raise their hands. The cop enters.
I grab a coffee there as well. Hoodie.
Don't move! Hands where I can see him!
No.
Now!
It's not him.
Now!
You got the wrong guy, dude.
Put your hands behind your head. Get down on your fucking knees.
The robber aims at the cop.
Look out!
They exchange gunfire over store shelves. The cop shoots the robber in the chest. The cop and the woman are shot in the abdomen.
I'm sorry.
The cop holds a hand over his wound, then lurches into the next aisle. He kicks away the robber's gun and checks his pulse. Carter dashes outside.
Get away!
The cop runs after him and raises his gun. Now in the hospital.
You will know shit. And so was the innocent lady standing next to me.
Hey! Nobody is killing anybody. We're on the same side.
Oh, no, we're far from that.
The internet is down. All the landlines are dead. There's no cell phone signal. And none of us have found a door to get out of here. And there's fucking creatures trying to kill us. So I'd say you, me, and him, we're on the same side.
Sam stands in front of the cop and gestures for him to lower his gun. He does.
This is impossible. You're a cop. You're a logical guy. If what we're seeing is impossible, maybe we're not seeing it right. Lily, what did you give me upstairs?
Antibiotics, adrenaline. You needed them. The pills are for the pain.
I saw some empty vials when I woke up. Maybe we're all drugged?
Was I drugged too in this scenario?
Maybe. You told me you woke up from a long nap in the break room. Anything could happen.
And now we're all having the same hallucinogenic nightmare.
Or maybe one of us is having a hallucinogenic nightmare and the rest of us are just figments of his or her imagination.
Or maybe we're all already dead. Oh, come on. It's bullshit.
How can you be so sure?
Because you're still breathing. And bleeding.
None of us are dead. But this will not end well unless we work together.
I still don't trust him. He was handcuffed for a reason.
Yeah, because he's a criminal.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. Another racist pig with a fucking gun.
The cop shoots Carter in the head.
What did you do?
Hey!
He is the reason that I'm here. He doesn't get to leave, but I do.
You killed him?
Yeah, I killed him. Because he's a criminal, and he'd have killed us if he had the chance.
Hey, I'm not dying here. Not today.
He pushes Sam aside and aims at Lily.
You work here, right? How did you get in if there's no doors?
Through a door, asshole.
And take us to it.
Now!
Let's go. Calm the fuck down.
I came in through the employee parking garage. Basement level.
Elevator or stairs?
I took the elevator straight up to my floor.
All right, assuming there is one, why didn't you come through the main entrance?
Because I have a car.
No, she knows something she's not telling. Like why this lobby has no doors.
I was only filling in today. First time at this hospital.
All right, basement it is.
He presses the elevator call button.
Wait. Where's the head?
Sam points to the floor.
It was lying right here. It was here.
The elevator opens behind the cop. He's sucked into a thick fog.
Right now!
Sam.
I can't leave her. I'm sorry. Monica!
In an ICU ward, Sam finds Monica hiding behind a cage cart.
You okay?
This must be hell. No, it's not. This is a hospital.
There's no way out of here.
Yes, there is.
Monica, look at me. You have to trust Dr. Lily. She knows a way out.
What the fuck is happening?
Look, maybe Carter's right. Look, maybe we were drugged. But the longer we stay here, the worse it's going to get for us. We have to reach the outside.
We can get out through the basement garage. The way I came in. I promise.
How? You know what's waiting for us in those stairs. And we can't go back to that elevator.
No. Not that elevator. I know another one. Come on.
Sam helps her up, and they head into a hallway with Lily.
How'd you know this was here?
I've been here before. When I first woke up, it didn't go well.
You said we couldn't use this one because of a homicidal coma man.
Yeah, well, we have to. Let's hope the homicidal coma man doesn't try to stop us. Get ready.
As they cautiously step into the elevator, they look up and notice a hole in the corner of a ceiling tile.
Coma man?
Sam takes out his pill bottle.
You know, too many of those pills can cause hallucinations. How many did you take?
Not enough for this place.
He pops a tablet into his mouth.
Excuse me.
Sam sidles up to the panel and presses the button for the basement. He looks nervously at Lily and Monica. In a basement corridor with brick walls, they step out of the elevator.
So where's this parking garage, Doctor? It should be down this hall.
Sam follows Lily down the hall. Monica lingers behind.
Guys, the morgue. Fitting. Since we're all probably dead.
With a stiff gait, Monica walks through a door.
Hey, Monica!
She walks through an area with metal tables and lab equipment.
We need to keep moving.
Sam slowly enters the morgue. At the back of the room, Monica approaches three tables with covered bodies.
None of these people made it out.
Unfortunately, not everyone gets to choose how they leave a hospital.
I got to choose. To be here. I mean, I even paid a lot of money to do it.
Monica turns to a mirror.
For the chance to look perfect.
Monica unbuttons her lab coat. It slips off of her shoulders, revealing the bandages around her chest. She removes the bandage clips.
Monica, what are you doing?
Monica unwraps the layered bandages around her breasts. She removes the bandages, revealing her breasts and the mirror.
I came in for breast enhancement. But there's no incisions. No scars. No nothing.
Maybe what happened before you had the surgery.
Maybe. But they've never looked this good.
Lily puts the lab coat back on Monica.
Hey, guys, I got a dial tone.
Sam dials a phone.
Hello, 911?
911, what
Thank God.
We're stuck in a hospital. It's an abandoned hospital somewhere in the city. We're in the basement morgue, trying to find the exit. Hello, hello, can you hear me? We're in a fucking hospital. I don't know where it is. It's downtown, somewhere in the city. Trace the call. Hello?
He hangs up the phone.
Fuck.
The three covered bodies sit up on the tables.
Sam?
They turn to the bodies with wide eyes. The first is the woman from the store. The second is the robber, and the third is the man from the accident. The cop stands in the doorway with his gun raised.
Whatever attacked me in that elevator is dead. Okay, they're all dead.
The bodies are lying back down.
But we're not. Yet. Ain't that right, doctor? Huh? Especially since my gunshot wound is no longer there.
I wouldn't get too excited. Looks like you still have plenty of injuries to worry about.
Yeah, maybe. But like I asked you before, take me to the exit. Now.
The cop keeps his gun raised as Lily walks back into the hallway. Lily, Monica, and Sam walk down the hallway with their hands up.
This better be the way.
It is.
You know, she's been trying to get me out of here since I first met her.
Oh, yeah? Then why are you still here?
They come to the end of the hallway and turn a corner.
That's why.
Smoke and a flickering red light emanate from the hall.
I know of only one way out, and there it is.
Well, you guys do what you want. I'm going down there. See you at 100.
I'm with him.
What about the fire?
I'm more scared of staying here.
This is the way I came. I know my way back. Trust me, Sam.
You sure we can make it?
If we stick together.
The cop runs down the smoky hallway.
There's gotta be another way.
There's gotta be another exit.
We can make it, Sam.
Fuck. Okay, let's go.
The cop reaches the midway point of the hall and turns back to the others. He walks deeper into the hallway. Carter dashes out from a doorway and stabs the cop in the chest. The cop grabs Carter's arm and slams him against the walls. Carter and the cop grapple over the gun and thrash against the walls. Carter punches the cop in the face. They struggle, and the cop punches him back. The cop slams Carter against the wall and shoots him in the chest. Carter slides to the floor.
No!
Carter slumps over. The cop looks down at the motionless Carter, then aims at the others.
I told you, I am getting out of here, no matter what it takes!
The cop flies back into the thick smoke of the hallway.
Guys, the elevator!
Carter's body is gone again.
They look at the empty hallway.
Now's our chance. Well, that thing is occupied.
Did you not just see what happened? Monica, go for the stairs!
Leave her. You and I can get out together.
I can't do that. We need to go for the stairs. Come on.
Lily holds him back.
No. The exit.
Her claw hand holds his wrist.
You're one of them.
No. You're one of them. There is only one way out.
Virgil exits the elevator.
I've got two ways.
Virgil! Monica, look at me. We gotta go, baby. Come on. Go for the stairs.
Sorry, Sam. For all of it.
Go.
Monica twitches. She slides into the smoky hallway.
Sam.
Virgil backs his wheelchair into the elevator.
You. I trusted you.
Sam backs into the elevator, looking at Lily with a nervous face. Lily stares back intently as the elevator doors close. The elevator ascends.
Fuck.
Sam gets down and presses his ear to the floor. The elevator quakes. Sam sits with his back against the wall.
Monica was right. This is hell.
No. It isn't hell. Or heaven. Or anywhere in between.
What is it?
It's just a hospital. But some have been here a lot longer than others. They just don't want to leave.
Sam buries his face in his arm.
I'm not one of those people.
That's good to hear, Sam. You chose to get out of your bed. You chose to leave this floor. What else are you going to choose to do next?
I just want to get out of this place.
The elevator rattles, and Sam falls over.
Boy.
Sam pries his fingers between the doors and pushes them open. He steps into a hallway, and Virgil follows.
We're in the same place.
Fuck!
Oh.
At least the orderly's gone.
Sam sits on the floor with his head in his hands.
I really need to talk to my wife.
Now, there's an elevator on each side of this hospital. But if we want to get to the roof, we need to get to the other one.
Right.
Sam pushes himself up from the floor and grabs the handles of Virgil's wheelchair.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
In a maternity ward, empty baby bassinets line the walls of a windowed room. Sam walks by with Virgil and peers through the window.
Do you hear that?
Yes, I do.
Sam rushes into the room and looks at the empty bassinets. He slowly steps deeper into the room. A bright light shines over Sam while the rest of his surroundings turn dim and blue. Sam's eyes widen.
Sarah.
Sarah stands cradling a baby in her arms.
It's a girl.
She's perfect.
How's your head?
Sam taps the bandage on his forehead.
It's okay. I've been trying to get to you from the moment I woke up.
I've never left. Remember deep breaths, stay the course.
How do I get out of here?
Follow the signs, or use your GPS.
It doesn't work in here.
Sarah looks at the baby, then back at Sam.
Then go to where it does.
The lights return and Sam looks around to find himself alone in the room.
Sam.
Virgil enters.
Why are you in this hospital, Virgil?
I'm old. Why are you?
Car crash.
Sam pulls the bandage off of his forehead.
I'm dead, aren't I?
I assure you, you are not. Neither is anyone else here. At least not when you first saw them. But being alive is not the same as living.
But if I die in here, then I really die.
In a flashback, Sam stabs the elderly man with a scalpel. The cop shoots Carter in the head.
Quite the opposite. If you die here, you become even more disoriented as you lash out at everyone and everything. And therefore, you're stuck here even longer.
In flashbacks, the bandaged women approach Sam. Carter stabs the cop in the chest. The elderly man charges down a hallway.
Who are you, Virgil?
I'm just a guide, trying to get you where you want to be.
And Dr. Lily?
She's a guide, too. Albeit one with a different purpose.
In a flashback at the accident site, Sam spits up blood. The paramedic leans into the window.
Hey.
He morphs into Virgil.
I'm gonna get you out of here.
The trooper morphs into Lily.
Let's try and get you out of here.
The other guy was drinking. Dead now.
Don't listen to her. Just look at me. Give me your hand.
Virgil reaches for Sam's hand.
There you go.
In another flashback, Monica lies beneath the lights of the operating table.
Anything to look beautiful, right?
You already look
beautiful.
Virgil is the nurse.
You hear that, Doc? He's gonna put you out of business.
Oh, I'm going
to make you even more beautiful.
Oh, you better.
Are you ready?
Lily is the surgeon.
All right. Now just relax and look up into the light.
He'll stop flashing that in your face any moment now. The light is very annoying. That's a bit bright.
In another flashback, the cop approaches the store counter.
Yeah, I know it's a bit of a stereotype, but I like him. I grab a coffee there as well.
The clerk pours coffee. He morphs into Lily as he hands over the cup.
Marty.
The cop pulls his gun, and the Asian woman transforms into Virgil.
Where I can see him.
Put your hands behind your head, down to your knees.
Not him.
You got the wrong guy.
The cop and the robber exchange gunfire and fall to the floor. Virgil sits on the floor and clutches a wound in his abdomen. Now, in the hospital, Sam bows his head and shuts his eyes.
Are you okay?
Sam raises his head and slowly opens his eyes.
Let's get to the roof.
In the hallway, the girl stands facing the north elevator, cast in shadow. Sam and Virgil stare at her from the opposite end of the hall.
That's not good. But I think I can take her.
An injured little girl in a hospital.
She's a lot more than that, and you know it.
Yeah, she is. Maybe you should try talking to her.
You know, the last time you suggested that, it didn't work out so well.
The last time I said that, you were listening to someone else.
She's all that stands in our way.
Exactly.
Good.
Sam approaches the girl with cautious steps. Sam kneels down in front of her.
Hey there.
She turns around.
Help me.
I want to.
I don't like it here.
Me neither. Are you lost?
Yes, but I don't want to go with the Bat Lady.
Sam is heading up to the roof, so I can call for help.
Do you want to come with us? Come on.
The girl takes Sam's hand.
I would suggest the stairs, but...
Virgil gestures to his legs.
We're going to take the elevator, okay? Good girl.
They approach the elevator, and Sam presses the call button. The doors open. Sam and the girl hold hands and look up as they enter. Virgil follows behind. Sam presses a button on the panel. The elevator rises through the shaft. Sam, Virgil, and the girl look up at the ceiling tile. A fist dents a tile, and the elevator shakes. The elderly man jumps down from the ceiling and strangles Sam. The doors open and they fall into a hallway. The girl watches with a worried face. Sam shoves the man against the wall and stabs him in the abdomen with a scalpel. Sam leans against a wall and covers his head with his hands. He turns to Virgil and the girl in the elevator.
Get her to the stairs. Now.
They exit the elevator and Sam approaches the girl.
Hey, baby. Don't be scared. When I count to three, I want you to run as fast as you can. Okay? One. Two. Three. Run!
She runs into the stairwell.
Go with her.
What about you?
The elderly man leaps behind Sam and plunges the scalpel into his back. As Sam falls to the ground, he lands in a bright hallway with doctors and nurses. The elderly man leaps over him. The dark-haired nurse approaches and shoves the elderly man aside.
You should be in bed.
She grabs Sam by the leg and drags him through the hallway. Sarah walks alongside him and looks down.
I love you. Don't get lost.
She stops and falls behind. Now, the nurse drags Sam back to his dimly lit room.
Comatose, brain dead, life support. There is no up or down. You must stay in bed.
Sam writhes on the floor. In a bright hospital room, Sarah stands over Sam's bed as doctors rush over with a crash cart. One of them rubs defibrillator paddles together. In a flashback, a hallway light bursts over Sam and he falls to the floor. In the hospital room, Sarah looks down at Sam with a worried face. In his dimly lit room, Sam sees the elderly man lying in his bed.
I'm the coma.
His face crumples as he breaks into tears. Sam looks up and jolts. The nurse, now faceless, stands over him.
You should be in bed.
Let him go.
Virgil strikes the nurse with the wrench.
I thought we might need to fix a sink.
He stands over Sam, who looks up with wide eyes.
Virgil.
Sam rises to his feet.
How long have I been here?
Oh. Well, that's up to you. The faceless ones want you to stay. Life at any cost.
I have a choice.
Always. Now make it and get out of here.
What about you?
Well, I still have some more guiding to do.
Sam nods with a faint smile.
Carter.
Among others. Good luck, Sam.
Sam places a hand on Virgil's shoulder and looks into his eyes.
Thank you, Virgil.
Virgil nods and Sam turns around. Sam rushes through the hallway and pushes through the stairwell door. A sign reads, roof access. In the stairwell, a bright light shines from the roof as Sam climbs the stairs. He notices the girl sitting in a corner.
Please help me.
Sam looks down at the girl on the landing, then up at the bright light on the roof. He descends the stairs and approaches the girl.
Come with me.
I can't do it.
We can do this together. Come on.
Sam takes her by the hand and leads her to the stairs.
Go.
Sam stumbles as she runs ahead. Lily grabs him with her claw hand.
You don't think this place is downstairs. I promise you. Your wife, your work, your future child have been taken from you. That fear you feel, rage against it. Rage with me.
Let go.
Monica chose it.
In the operating room, an EKG monitor displays flat lines. Monica lies on the operating table. The surgeon writes the time of death onto a chart. Now, Lily stares at Sam.
The cop chose it.
In another operating room, Carter lies on a table with doctors attending to him. The cop lies on a bed in an adjacent room. A nurse hands a chart to a doctor who pulls a sheet over the cop's face.
And now you will choose it.
I choose the roof.
You shouldn't be with her!
The orderly pulls Lily away, and Sam runs up the stairs. At the top, a light shines through the small window of a door. The girl stands by the door with a blank face. Sam looks through the window with a hand resting against the door. Sam struggles with the handle before pulling the door open. A brilliant light shines from the doorway. Sam turns to the girl and offers his hand.
Come on, let's go.
Thank you.
In a patient room, the girl lies unconscious in bed with bandages covering her face. A woman sits at her side holding her hand. A man stands next to them. The woman strokes the girl's arm, holding back tears. The man places a hand on the woman's shoulder. They both look mournfully at the girl. In the stairwell, Sam lets go of the girl's hand and she steps through the light-filled doorway. Sam shuts his eyes for a moment before looking into the light. In the hospital room, Sarah places his hand on her pregnant belly. In the stairwell, his eyes widen. In the hospital room, Sarah holds back tears.
We're gonna be okay, babe.
She places a hand on Sam's chest.
I love you.
She kisses his forehead tenderly. In the stairwell, Sam hastily pulls out his phone and taps the screen. He smiles. A text message from Sarah reads, "I love you." In the hospital room, Sarah holds his hand and strokes his wedding ring. The EKG monitor by the bed shows flat lines. In the stairwell, Sam types a reply to Sarah, "I love you too."
I love you too.
He sends the message and steps through the bright light of the doorway. In the hospital room, Sarah sits holding Sam's hand on the bedside table. A notification on Sarah's phone shows the message from Sam, "I love you too." Credits. Audio description by Descriptive Video Works. Written by Chris Bowe and narrated by Diane Newman. written and directed by Michael Winnick. Produced by Stephen Paul. Executive producer Scott Carroll. Executive producers Charles Cooper, Kyle Otto. Director of Photography, Adam Slawinski, Mel Ward. Production designer, Patrick Acuna. Edited by Robert A. Ferretti, ACE. Music by Rich Walters. Casting by Fern Champion, CSA. Starring Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, Rochelle Golding, Elise Levesque, Lachlan Monroe, Gary Chalk, Teresa Mahoro, Anita Brown, and Bradley Stryker. Other credits follow. Copyright 2022 SP Media Group, LLC. All rights reserved. The letters SPMG appear against a blue background. SP Media Group. Stars encircle a snow-covered mountain. Paramount.